Let's have a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our Sabbath service. Let us arise to sing hymn number 275. We will now have our prayer. In our prayer, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ that we are still able to hold our Sabbath service together. We pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to guide us in our service today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel down and pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Today, I would like to share with our brothers and sisters on this topic, in the prison in Philippi. Earlier, we have spoken concerning how Paul and his team were guided by the Spirit of the Lord God to go to this place in Macedonia. And they ended up in this leading city in Philippi. Paul and Silas had wanted to bring the gospel of salvation to the people over there. The people in Philippi, they were all subject to bondage of the evil one. It is seen in the frequent consultation with this girl who have the spirit of divination. But the people there rejected the grace of the Lord God, and they persecuted these preachers of the gospel. Like what is stated in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Here it tells us that the light has come into the world, but the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works are evil. The people of this world, they love darkness rather than light because their works are evil. Lest when the light shines upon them, their works are exposed. These people in Philippi, they knew the work of the Lord God. They saw how Paul have cast out the demons from this girl. They witnessed that this girl is healed by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't take this into their heart, because they look at their means of gain as more important than the grace of the Lord God. When our Lord Jesus Christ sent his disciples out to do the work of the Lord God, Our Lord Jesus Christ have told them what they are to expect. This incident is found in Matthew chapter 10, from verse 16 onwards. He tells, our Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples that he is sending us out as sheep in the midst of wolves, telling us to beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues, or they will drag you before governors and kings for my name's sake. So here he tells us of the dangers we are to face when we become the preachers of the gospel of the kingdom. But in verse 19, it tells us not to be anxious over these things, because the Lord God will be with us. So to the preachers of the gospel, they need not be too anxious over these calamities that may befall them in their path of preaching the gospel. Their concern is towards fulfilling this will of the Lord God to bring this gospel of salvation to the people of the world. Now it brings us to the prison, the incident in the prison in Philippi. We refer back to Acts chapter 16. From verses 23 to 26. Today we discuss concerning 23 to 26. Verse 23 says, and when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. So in this passage here, firstly, it tells us from verse 23 and 24, that after Paul and Silas were beaten, they were cast into the prison. Great care was taken that they do not escape from the prison. The magistrates charged the jailer to keep them safely in the prison and to watch over them that they will not escape. The jailer understood this charge. If this man is to escape, then he will face punishment. That's why he put them into the inner prison. Sometimes we also call it the dungeon. And have their feet fastened with leg stocks. He then kept watch outside the prison door. If someone is to rescue them, or they have to escape the eyes of these guards in front of the door, they have to break open the gates, then only they are able to reach the prisoners. But even then, the prisoners' legs are fastened in stocks, or they will not be able to run away. This is a great plan to keep them in the prison. While outside the prison, there is anxiety whether Paul and Silas is going to escape from the prison or not. They are worried that if they escape, then punishment will come upon the guards. They must keep vigilant in guarding the prison outside. But inside the prison, there seems to be calm. No one is planning an escape. Neither is anyone anticipating someone coming from outside to rescue them. So inside the prison, instead, there is calm and peace. And so, at the middle of the night, Paul and Silas are having communion with the Lord God. They are singing praises. They are praying to the Lord God. other prisoners are also giving attention to listen to them. When these persecutors beat up Paul and Silas and put them into the prison, it is designed to dishearten them, to discourage these preachers of the gospel, to make them weary of the work, to stop them from preaching the gospel of Christ to the people. But Paul and Silas are not discouraged. They are not disheartened. Or they find peace in their heart. Or that's why in the middle of the night, they have communion with the Lord God. We see that this peace comes from within them. What is external will not affect the peace that is in the heart. If you refer to John chapter 14, verse 27, our Lord Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This peace that is given by the Lord God, it is not the peace that the world understands. The people of the world, they understand peace when there is no movement or when there is no trouble. But these people outside the prison, they have no peace. They are worried. They are stressed at the prospect that these prisoners may run away. Instead, peace is in the prison. There was a king. He ordered some artists to draw a picture that depicts peace. From these pictures, the king chose two of the pictures. One of the picture shows a very calm lake. The water is still. And it is a perfect mirror of the mountains that surround it. Overhead is the blue skies with fluffy white clouds. When many of the people saw this picture, they feel that this shows peace. But there was another picture. This picture shows of a mountain with a cliff at the side. The mountains or the cliff are low, rugged. And above these mountains is a dark sky. Rain fell and the lightning also struck. But down the side of this cliff, there is a waterfall. And behind this waterfall, there is a bush, and a bird have built the nest in the bush. And the mother bird is resting peacefully in the nest. The king chose this picture and say that this is peace. Peace does not mean that there is no noise, there is no trouble, or there is no hard work. Peace means that in the midst of all those things that is external, there is calm in the heart. And this picture reflects what real peace is. Paul and Silas, they have peace in the midst of the commotion that is outside. The peace is in the bosom of the rock. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace comes from God. In John chapter 16, verse 33, John chapter 16, verse 33 tells us, "In me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It is in our Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to find peace. If we look into the world, we will not be able to find peace. But we who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace in Him. At this moment of time, as there was great anxiety in the world, do we find peace in our heart? If we continue to seek the Lord God, if we draw near to Him, if we have communion with Him in prayers and praises, if we meditate upon the word of the Lord God, then we are able to find peace in our heart. We thank God that the church have made good arrangement for us, that at this moment of time, we are able to have services in the weekend. And on a weekday, we are able to have family altar. Let us make good use of this arrangement of the church and find peace in our heart. We look back into the situation in the prison. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it tells us, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Here it tells us that Paul and Silas is in the prison. Of course, physically, they are in tribulations. Once they were beaten, and now they are bound in the prison. Having been confined in this place, what are they going to do during this period of time? In James, we look at the book of James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 13 says, is anyone among you in afflictions? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Here it tells us, if we are in afflictions, we pray to the Lord God. When we are cheerful in our heart, we sing praises. This is exactly what Paul and Silas did in the prison. They are in afflictions because they are bound in the prison. So they pray to the Lord God. Yet they are able to be cheerful in their hearts. That's why they are able to sing praises in the prison. Surely Paul and Silas is suffering afflictions. They were beaten, they were thrown into the inner prison, they were chained in stocks. These are the sufferings that they have to endure in their flesh. In this period of sufferings or trials, one must be able to turn to the Lord God. We pray to the Lord God to give us strength in these times of affliction. We pray to the Lord God for support, for comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray that the consolation in Christ might abound. When our Lord Jesus Christ knows that His time has come, where He has to endure sufferings in the hands of the people, to be crucified, He turned to the Heavenly Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed to the Heavenly Father. He talked about the agony before Him, the bitter cup that He has to drink. But He submitted to the will of the Lord God. He prayed that thy will be done. At this moment of time, the angel from heaven came down to strengthen him. So in these times of affliction, we need strength from the Lord God. On top of this, these preachers of the gospel, their concern in their heart is the progressor of the work of the gospel. They have come here to bring grace and salvation to the people. Now that they are confined in the prison, how is it, or how can this be done? They also concur with what is mentioned in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. They understand that all these things will work together for good for the people who are called according to his purpose. But how is it? How is this working for good? This is something that it is difficult to understand. But we trust in the Lord God. We trust in the words of the Lord God that everything will work out for good. That's why Paul, in a letter when he wrote to the church in Philippi, he had these words to say to them. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he says that what had happened to me had really served to advance the gospel. So later on, when he looked back at all these incidents, he is able to realize that these bonds and stripes that he is suffering now turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. With this understanding, they are able to find joy in their heart. They are able to be cheerful. Just like Peter and John is also the same. After their afflictions, when they leave the prison, they say that they rejoice in the Lord, that they are counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Counted worthy to suffer for Christ. So that's why, although they are bound in the prison, they spend this time in communion with the Lord God. No grievous moments will separate them from the love of the Lord God. In fact, when we are faced with calamities, all the more we should pray to the Lord God. Secondly, we say that they are cheerful. They are cheerful because we see that they are singing praises to the Lord God. They are able to find joy in the midst of these persecutions. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, he has these words to tell his disciples. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. On my account. These persecutions or this false accusation is made on account of the gospel of Christ. It is not that we suffer persecutions because of our own wrongdoing. It is for on the account of Christ. If our sufferings is on the account of Christ, then we are blessed. Because we know in the end, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, we will be able to receive our reward in the kingdom of God. That's why just now we say Peter and Paul were once, Peter and John also was once in prison. After they left the prison, they rejoice that they are counted worthy to suffer dishonor in his name. Who are we? We are just a sinner. But by the grace of the Lord God, we are chosen to be worthy to suffer for his name's sake. This is such a great honor and blessings. They felt the divine consolation so sweet, so strong in their heart, that they pour it out in praises to the Lord God in the prison. Here it also tells us that the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas is in the inner part of the prison, or we say that in the dungeon. The other prisoners is in the outer part of the prison. But these prisoners are listening attentively to the prayers and to the praises offered by Paul and Silas. We can say that their praises and the prayer is so loud. Or it is so inspiring that these prisoners outside gave full attention to them. From here, we find that although Paul and Silas is in the inner prison, they do not feel ashamed of this testimony of the Lord God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So here it tells us not to be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord God. Sometimes we think that we can only bear witness at the time when we do not have calamities. When others are able to see blessings in our life. For example, at times when our sickness are healed, or when we are averted from dangers, or when we receive success and blessings in our life. But it is not necessary to be so. Under any circumstances, we can be a witness for Christ. Even in adverse situation, we are not ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we say above, we must be able to have this understanding that all this adverse situation is also the work of the Lord God. It is for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. If we have this understanding, then we will be able to testify for Christ at all times. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Although physically they are bound in the prison, they are confined over there, but the word of the Lord God is not bound. Even in the prison, they are able to testify for the Lord God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that we are called to be the witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. And this can be done in any way and in all places. And in this particular place, in the prison, when they sing hymns, when they pray, it is to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it tells us, to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and complete patience and teachings. He tells us to preach the gospel, be ready in season and out of season. At all times, we must be prepared to preach the gospel of Christ. Of course, we have also allotted certain evangelical services a certain period of time when we collectively participate in this work of preaching the gospel. But then this preaching of the word of the Lord God is not confined to this allocated time only. It is at all times in our life we are able to share this word of the Lord God with the people. When we talk about hymnal evangelism, maybe we can learn from Paul and Silas. We do not know how well they are able to sing. But one thing is certain. They are able to capture the attention of the audience. And in this case, it is the prisoners in the prison. They are able to give attention to their prayers and to their praises. So hymnal evangelism need not be conducted in the chapel or in a designated hall that we rent from outside. It can be done anywhere. It can be done during the funeral service, in any gathering, in any activities, and in this case, even inside the prison. So probably we should prepare ourselves so that we are able to spontaneously conduct hymnal evangelism at all times in any place. This is also something we are able to learn from Paul and Silas in this prison. We go back to the situation in the prison. In Acts chapter 16, verse 26 tells us, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened." God works in mysterious way. Of course, God can prevent his servants from being taken or from being in prison. But God did not work that way. He chose to work at this moment of time when they are in prison, when they are chained in stocks. God works during this time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." He has made everything beautiful in its time. It is the time of God. At this time, it is the most beautiful time for the work of the Lord God. While the prisoners are giving attention to the testimony of Paul and Silas, this great phenomenon suddenly occurred. It shows the presence of the Lord God with them. No one is able to do this. Works or signs and wonders testify of the presence of the Lord God. The place was shaken. It signifies the presence of the Lord God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 to 30, it also tells us when Peter and John were praying to the Lord God to give them courage and boldness to preach the gospel. These words is acceptable by the Lord God. And the foundation of the prayer house that they were in was shaken. It indicates God's presence, God's acceptance of their request, and God's answer to their prayer. In preaching the gospel to the people, we bring blessings to mankind, deliverance to the captives, liberty to those who are oppressed. And this sign and wonder, when the people's chain were broken, when the doors of the prison were opened, indicate how the Lord God wants to free the people from the bondage of sins. We also can say that this testimony or these signs and wonders a proof of the testimony or the preaching of Paul and Silas. In Mark chapter 16, it tells us of the commission that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to his disciples to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. And when these disciples obey the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 20 it tells us, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the accompanying of signs. So here it tells us, when they obey the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, the Lord God confirmed their message by the accompanying of signs. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. If we also obey this commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to go forth and preach the gospel of Christ, we will also witness these signs that testify of the message that we preach. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ to those who preach the gospel. This is something that they commonly see. I would like to share a testimony of an incident. This happened in Batu Lapan among our preaching work in the Orang Asli. At one time, we went over there and we hold a hymnal, it's a medical mission over there. Of course, in the medical mission, we will bring many people to see our doctors who give them medical help. But with the intention to introduce our church to them. In the morning, we went to a place in the village to bring the people to have medical help from our doctors. Among the people in this village, there is a boy who is not able to walk. So we approached the father and say that, hey, do you want to come to see our doctors? The father says, oh, not necessary. Because this boy is not able to walk for many years already. It's for many years that he's not able to walk. They have already seen the doctors from the hospitals in Ipoh until the hospital in KL. They have also seen all the doctors. But it is of no help. They have been to many denominations, prayed to different religious organizations, but it is of no help. So the father feel that it is not necessary to follow us to see the doctor. It will still be the same. But after our medical mission in the morning, we always have a hymn. We have an evangelical service in our prayer house in Batu Lapan. So at night, when we go back to the village to fetch those who wanted to come to attend our evangelical service at night, suddenly this boy's father came to approach us again and says, "Oh, Namai, you bring my son for the evangelical service. And my wife will go with him." So we fetch the wife and the boy to our evangelical service. Of course, during our evangelical service, we also pray for them. After the evangelical service, we send them home. This boy is still the same. He's still not able to walk. 1 week later, when we go there to follow up, we see this boy walking in the village. We ask the father, what happened to this boy? How come he is able to walk? He says that 2 days after we left the village, suddenly in the morning, this boy is able to walk. We thank the grace of the Lord God. This incident also tells us that although we have medical doctors to give medicine, but even after we have left, after all the medical doctors have left, God did not leave this place. 2 days after that, this boy is able to walk. We thank the grace of the Lord. There are many testimonies that we experience when we preach the gospel. We hope that our brothers and sisters will also be able to join us in this evangelical work to bring this gospel of salvation to all men. So from this message today, we say that the persecutors are designed to stop the progress of the gospel. Their hope to ruin the work of the gospel. But instead, it opened a door of evangelism. The prisoners are able to hear the gospel and are able to witness the work of the Lord God through these signs and wonders. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ. We will now sing another hymn. We sing hymn 277, 277. We will sing 4 verses, hymn 277. We will now have our prayer. In our prayer, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ for his guidance in our service. We also pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to continue to guide our church in its evangelical work. We pray that we will be able to bring this gospel to everyone around us to be a light to the world. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel down and pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Have grace, O Lord Jesus Christ. I love to tell the story. They'll be my team in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story. They'll be my team. Our service ends here. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.